We're coming low out of the rising sun, and about a mile out, we'll put on the music.
Music?
Yeah, I use Wagner. It scares the hell out of the slopes. My boys love it.
I'm John Milius. I'm a filmmaker, a historian, and a storyteller.
John Milius had more movies made than any writer in the history of Hollywood.
He was really one of the first guys who said, hey, this is how people talk.
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
He doesn't write for pussies and he doesn't write for women. He writes for men, because he's a man.
He's not one of those directors that just goes from one movie to the next.
He made the most defining films of those decades.
It's pretty staggering, the journey he took to get there.
John is such a great storyteller just in life.
Francis couldn't tell a story like John. George is a great storyteller. He couldn't tell a story like John. None of us.
He likes to blow it up bigger in life.
And then he's created this persona.
I've heard that he referred to himself as a Zen anarchist.
I hear Milius pulled a gun on some executive.
I like John because he says what he thinks, although I sometimes worry that he doesn't think.
He's the teddy bear with an AK-47.
He wanted to make himself into a legend.
Remember those Bud Ice commercials with the penguin?
I don't think so.
Have I talked to you on the show about this
before?
There was
frogs.
There was the Budweiser. There was
penguins.
There was the Bud Ice, shortly lived, ice malt. It was their version of Ice House.
Right, yeah.
And it was like this. It was one of those like, oh, the call's coming from inside the house commercials, right? Uh-huh. Except like the person on the other line just kept singing Strangers in the Night, just the doobie doobie doo.
Sure.
And then they're like, it's in the house.
To what end?
She goes upstairs.
Why does that make me want to drink Bud Ice?
Well, there's just some penguin that broke into her house and was prank calling her.
Ringing a bell now.
And stealing her.
I think I am kind of remembering the pervert penguin.
Either way, we need to have the beer companies campaigning and, showing commercials for the kids again.
You know what else I like?
What's that?
What's up?
Yeah. They need to be targeting children again.
Like, that makes me want to pound beers. What's up?
Yeah. Instead, kids these days want to pound White Claws, Nate.
You're really upset about this whole White Claw trend.
It makes me so upset.
In the nation right now.
It's because you've seen
me
shotgun.
Really getting under your skin.
You've seen me shotgun a beer or two.
Yeah, I feel like these kids are stealing your thunder.
No, it's like they're not, because they're just chugging water, essentially, and that's not impressive. There's no skill to shotgunning a White Claw.
I don't know if they're trying to impress anyone.
But it's not cool. It's not anything. It's awful.
You're not going to get any arguments from
you
there.
You're just like, look at me drink this water really quick. And that's all you're doing. And I haven't seen one kid.
Is not cool.
I haven't seen one kid smash a can on his head yet. Which is my signature finish.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like once people are smashing cans on their head in public places, things get dangerous.
If I challenge
start getting thrown out of the neighborhood bar,
any one of these kids to shotgun a real beer with me, they couldn't do it.
I don't want you smashing cans on your head out in public.
Why not?
You're too old for this, Matt.
No,
this isn't gonna end well. I'm telling you right now.
That's more of our point here. You know, we're supposed to be slightly threatened by this younger generation, and we're supposed to, overcompensate with masculinity.
When I was a kid, Marilyn Manson was blowing all the parents' minds. They didn't know what to think about the Marilyn Manson. These days, what do you got? Cardi B?
Oh.
I'm not afraid of Cardi B. She's not making me uncomfortable. She's just stupid.
No, no one's going to hang
kids like these days are just stupid.
You haven't heard anybody hang one of these mass shootings on Cardi B, have you?
I haven't been paying attention. I imagine somebody has to.
Nah, I feel like Cardi B would just make me want to kill myself.
How many mass shootings happened today?
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Just three.
Mm. Yeah. One of them had to have been Cardi B related.
Maybe.
The odds just say that it's gotta be the case one of these days.
When we were younger, you weren't shit unless you were rocking like a Red Dog shirt.
Uh-huh.
Or, you
co-ed
know,
naked.
Some kind of Budweiser t-shirt. You know, not a fucking...
Big Dog?
Yeah. Not a fucking White Claw shirt.
Mm.
Those,
I haven't seen anybody wearing shirts yet.
Those co-ed
they
naked...
They got merch.
Those are great.
Co-ed naked White Claw chugging.
That's no, next. No.
You don't like that?
No. We're not, I don't know how to do it either way. It's Baby Oil and Blow.
Uh-huh.
We're your hosts.
It?
Yeah, it's a okay. Action Palooza.
It's officially, I should push record. Were we supposed to be recording this?
Surprise me.
All right.
I am one half of the hosts. I am Matt O.
Uh-huh.
You, sir, are the Bartles to my James. Oh, you are...
Lovely.
Nate Adams.
Oh, hoy, hoy. I had a picture with Bartles and James when I was a little kid.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it wasn't really them. It was just a cardboard cutout of Bartles and James.
Oh.
There was this thing set up in a mall in Indianapolis where there uh-huh. was just cardboard cutouts of famous people.
Yeah, I remember that store.
And then you would pay to get your picture taken with them.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, I'm just like, why would anybody pay to do that?
Was that in the old...
That's a waste of money.
Was that in the Circle Mall or was that in the old train station?
Yeah, the old train station mall.
Yeah, they used to have a great t-shirt shop over there, too. Ooh, a lot of Seinfeld shirts.
At that t-shirt shop, I'll tell you that right now.
You know?
I think I got some ones with Gary Larson Far Side comics on them from that shirt or that place, probably.
I'd love to see those now. I bet they rip.
Oh, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Had that one with the dumb kid just trying to like push on a door that's a pull door.
What an idiot.
It's funny.
Do kids even know what Far Side is anymore?
Funny. Kids got to know what Far Side is.
I don't think so.
It was all the rage when I was a youngster.
Oh, mine
too.
It was
real subversive humor in those comics, Matt.
Beers for children.
I'll tell you what. I woke up naked this morning and my underwear was out back. That's how drunk I got yesterday, Matt.
I got confused by that statement.
I don't know.
You left your underwear at Outback? Did you have a diarrhea incident?
It was out in my backyard.
Oh, it was in your backyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
What do you think unfolded?
I'm hoping I just like got in the hot tub or something.
Yeah, you got a hot tub back there.
But I don't know.
I would assume you were just
definitely
like,
wandered home blind drunk.
From where?
It was just, you know, up the neighborhood spot.
Okay.
But I left my car uptown, thankfully, because I was so blind
uptown
drunk.
Uptown, Nate.
I got here, and my brain wouldn't work anymore.
Mm.
And I couldn't pull up the simple code to open my garage door.
Oh.
So I was just wandering around outside for a long time, like trying to MacGyver a way to get into my house and like trying to make my brain work to pull out this simple 4-digit code.
That had to be frightening
and
for
there was
that grown autistic man that lives next
embarrassing amount of time that I was just out there dealing with this problem before I remembered, hey, you just got your keys in your pocket, asshole. Just unlock your door and walk inside.
What were you like? Were you like checking windows and stuff?
Pretty much, yeah. I think I was pretty close to just like throwing a potted plant through a window.
Yeah, a lot of times, like when I have to get in drunk problem solving, mm-hmm. like situations like that, I do a lot of like
potted plants for me.
I'll do a little wider than a. This is how I do my thinking when I'm in that mode. I do a little wider than a shoulder width stance.
Sure.
And I just kind of gently like rock back and forth a little bit.
Yeah.
And like kind of do like.
Totally like hypnotized.
Chin towards my chest and a lot of like...
Look at him, he's totally hypnotized.
Like heavy breathing like that.
I imagine that's what I was doing.
I feel like...
And then at some point, I was naked, but I don't remember why that happened.
You got privacy fences.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
It's just an extension of your house back there.
Yeah.
Your property.
You do all sorts of weird stuff back there.
Yeah. You voted Trump just so you could do that. Go fuck yourself.
None the wiser.
Yeah. Sons of bitches.
Who are you getting mad at now?
I don't know. I wasn't angry today, I don't think.
Mm.
But I'm coming in hot on this one, huh?
Coming in real hot. There's a lot of repressed shit going on. So,
just thinking of all the...
Watching Conan get all that... Just
thinking of all the atrocities I lived through.
Pumping through your body, probably. There's a lot of man meat on display in this movie we're watching this week.
And lady meat.
That's for damn sure.
Not very meaty, though. There's some pretty skinny white bitches in this movie.
It could have been meatier. We're burying the lead here. Let's get into this rundown of
No dirty, hairy strip club white chicks.
Ooh, that's
my favorite.
Maybe the best scene in any movie we've seen so far. Just that dirty, hairy strip club
from
scene.
From here on out in this podcast, I'm probably going to judge all nudity scenes we get to the nudity and dirty hair.
Rightly so.
Hot Mary and the girls of the strip club.
She had some floppers.
But we're not talking dirty hair again.
This rundown is brought to us by the Trinidad Sour, which is the drink that we're sipping on right here. It's a very bitter, very heavy drink invented by a New York bartender named Giuseppe Gonzalez.
He's a good dude.
It's the reason why we're so loose on the mics right now.
He was one of the Ninja Turtles.
Loose lips. Sinking ships over here. This rundown is of Conan the Barbarian from 1982. Runtime of this film is a whopping 129 minutes. Way too long.
Mm-hmm.
The budget was a cool $16 million. This thing.
16?
That's what I saw on my half-assed internet research.
I found 30, sir.
Oh, maybe 30.
Yeah, this one had a...
I saw a 16 number. I saw $130 million is what it pulled in. This is what I got.
Oh, excuse me. Budget 20.
This is a wild success.
It was not.
People love this movie.
It only made 39. What movie were you checking?
$130 million.
What are you checking?
I'm fucking... It's on the Wikipedia. Wikipedia never lies.
Everything I saw said it was just a modest
success.
No,
whatever you're looking at is bullshit. This kicked off an entire sword and sandals bullshit Dungeons and Dragons trend in fucking Hollywood. Conan the Barbarian imitators were all over the place. Krull, Beastmaster, all this shit was coming after it. This movie came in hot.
You're talking about the Jason Momoa one, right?
Is that what... That's the problem here?
Well,
oh, no.
We might have watched separate movies here.
One I saw was written and directed by John Milius, who is the focus of this month we've been doing. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
As the Conan. That's a problem. Ooh.
Oh.
Talking different movies here. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Terminator. He became an actor, and then he played Conan. Mako
became the president.
Is our narrator. It's pretty cool. He's got a one-word name.
That's pretty cool.
Also, Akira the Wizard in this movie. But you probably know Mako from the extremely just like impressive string of films he did in the early 90s.
Yep.
Where he was Mr. Sakamoto in the Jim Belushi movie Taking Care of Business. Kim in Jeff Speakman's The Perfect Weapon. And he was Mr. Lee in Chuck Norris's Sidekicks.
That's where Maria knew him from.
And he was Kanemitsu in RoboCop 3. That's a run right there, brother.
Buy that for a dollar.
That's a string of fucking movies right there.
That's the one without Peter Weller.
James Earl Jones is our bad guy, Tulsa Doom. He's a leader of a snake cult. You know James Earl Jones from being Darth Vader and being the king and coming to America and being the old blind guy in the Sandlot.
Yep.
Max von Sydow, I'm throwing in here. A little credit his way. He's playing King Osric.
Osric.
Fancy people probably know Max von Sydow for being in King Osric. The Seventh Seal is a really respected movie, but real ass people know him as being Emperor Ming from Flash Gordon. That's how he made his bones.
Mm.
That's for damn sure.
Mm.
Tagline: Conan the Barbarian. Thief, warrior, gladiator, king. That about sums it up right there. Plot summary. Let's see how they do it here. How are you going to summarize this plot?
What do you got for us?
They say a film adaptation of the classic sword and sorcery hero Conan the Barbarian. A horde of rampaging warriors massacre the parents of young Conan and enslave the young child for years on the Wheel of Pain. As a sole survivor of the childhood massacre, Conan is released from slavery and taught the ancient arts of fighting. Transforming himself into a killing machine, Conan travels into the wilderness to seek vengeance on Tulsa Doom, the man responsible for killing his family. In the wilderness, Conan takes up with the thieves Valeria and Subotai. The group comes upon King Osric, who wants the trio of warriors to help rescue his daughter, who has joined Doom in the hills. I'm glad somebody else wrote it down.
Doom in the Hills.
I could probably watch this movie like 5 times in a row and not be able to fucking tell you what it's about or what the hell happens in this goddamn thing.
No.
I've just been staring at this movie all day long.
Yeah.
It's like playing in the background. It just feels like it's been a day of fever dreams.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I really saw watching this movie, what I just hallucinated, what might have just like, you know, came out of my brain when I was wandering around outside naked at 5 a.m. this morning.
Ew, that's fair.
It's been a confusing 24 hours for me.
You've seen this film a good handful of times, though.
I've seen this movie quite a few times. Yeah. The first time I've watched it in a long time with the actual audio, paying attention to it, because this movie kind of infamously has the coolest fucking director's commentary of all time with Milius and Schwarzenegger on the track.
Really?
And back in the day, me and my college roommates had this drinking game we'd play called the Conan Drinking Game.
That's a pretty good title.
Which is, we'd put this movie on with the director's commentary, and everybody would have to drink anytime Schwarzenegger said, "That's so funny," or "I remember this," or when he starts describing how gorgeous one of the women on the screen is. I think anytime Milius calls a woman a Valkyrie is also one of the ways you drink. But it's so entertaining watching this with the director's commentary, because clearly Schwarzenegger has no concept of what a director's commentary is or like what you're supposed to do. So what he does is just describes visually what's happening on the screen at every moment. Nice. As if like you can't see it.
Yeah.
As if you're like a blind person and he's just
I remember this.
And now here it is.
This is a good part.
You see, I'm walking through the hills here and the dogs. Now there are the dogs. They're chasing me. That's the whole thing. That and him just asking Milius like to explain the movie to him because he doesn't understand why anything's happening.
Huh.
It's fucking insane. I highly recommend anybody who's got their hands on the DVD, go out there and
DVD.
Watch this with that director's commentary. But other than that, you know, I'd watch this in
full screen. You watched it in full screen, right?
You got to.
Yeah.
Watch this in bits and pieces as a kid. Catching it like on cable and whatnot.
Yeah.
Very rare, I think, that I ever watch Conan the Barbarian just from like start to finish. Sit down like I'm going to watch the whole movie.
I was going to say, this might have been the first time I ever watched the movie start to finish.
I mean, only for drinking game purposes. And I got to say, when you just you actually pay attention to it and you're just moment to moment, you're watching it. God, this movie makes no sense at all. This has got to be one of the biggest examples of just cocaine running wild on a movie set that I've fucking ever seen in my life, man.
And from what I gather, 2 hours and 9 minutes of a film that Oliver Stone originally wrote as 4 hours long.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, there's got to be like a 4 hour cut of this somewhere. Yeah. Just like, they had to have shot so much more shit than this.
Yeah, it's my understanding Oliver Stone was like, it's going to be 4 hours long.
Because it needs to be great. Yeah.
And Milius was like, don't worry, Universal, I got this.
You've got Oliver Stone involved. You've got Schwarzenegger involved. You've got Milius involved. You've got the fucking Dino De Laurentiis.
You have John Milius involved as the voice of reason. Bear that in mind.
I mean, just the cocaine that had to have been snorted up people's noses from conception to this
or
film
out of
finally
some of
being
those white girls'
out.
Asses. Or blown up some of those language. White girls' asses.
So the bullet points here, I guess, as we're getting into my first bullet point is just this movie. I think you could take the scenes and just like mix them up, just shuffle the deck and play them in a completely different order and you wouldn't notice.
No, it's all about that score, baby.
The score is 90% of why this fucking thing's working.
Yeah.
I think maybe this is the score that launched an entire genre of movies, because everybody liked this music so much that they're like, we're just gonna keep making muscled up guys carrying sword movies.
Towards the end, there's a piece when it's like the big climactic showdown, the music that's going on. The Phantom Menace music ripped it off, like, clearly.
Oh, man.
Just the whole... Ooh. It's like, that's the same song.
Phantom Menace is cool music, too, and they're ripping off cool from the music. Best. That's, talking about that double lightsaber fight song right there. And Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm. Darth Maul.
It's maybe the only...
Qui-Gon Jinn.
The only good Star Wars
Obi-Wan
scene
Kenobi.
That's been made since the 1980s.
You excited for that?
People just still love Star Wars for some reason.
You excited for that Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan Kenobi show they're making?
90% of Star Wars is bad. People just still love it so much. Why are you gonna make a show with Ewan McGregor? Ewan McGregor is a fucking cinema star. I don't like that everything's gotta be like a streaming service
cinema star,
fucking series
Ewan
now.
McGregor.
Just make a movie.
Make
a fucking movie. I can sit down and watch it in 90 minutes. I could be done with it and then it's over. I don't want a whole fucking series of shit. And everything like, what episode you on? Are you binging it? Are you binging this one? You binging that one? Have you got through this thing yet? No. I don't have time for all this shit, man.
I would like to turn your attentions towards porn parody films.
Uh-huh.
You might find it as a happy compromise.
Sure, yeah.
Because they all clock in around like 90 minutes because they don't want to give you too much for, you know, your dollar's worth.
Do they still make porn parody movies?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Internet had...
There's one of those companies that does that.
No,
you can find them somewhere. Just sniff it out. You're going to love it.
I don't remember the last time I've seen a porn movie that was an actual, like, story movie thing. I thought they just shot, like, just sex scenes now and threw them up on the internet.
Not the porn parodies, sir. They still try to shoehorn it up.
Out there doing the work.
A plot of a movie, yeah. Check them out. Go rent it. Go to Oasis Video when we're done here and rent yourself seven
still
or eight.
Open?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get yourself Conan on DVD.
Is that the last surviving video store that exists?
In this area,
I can't think of it. Yeah. Cut that corner room.
Family Video and Lowell died finally.
Yeah, that's for sure. So. That weird guy that ran the video always tried to get us to rent corners. We weren't old enough. Yeah. Oh, look the other way. Come on, kids. It's cool.
I went there.
You just want to watch Terminator, man.
I went there a couple years ago.
We don't want to watch porno movies together. That's not what tonight's going to be.
I told him where I worked, and he told me all about somebody that I worked with and how he had to ban them because they owed $1,000 in back rent for porn.
How do you keep letting somebody rent when they owe you that much money? How do you get it to that point?
This guy's got a soft spot for porn.
Yeah, you can have another porno film, sure, but you gotta bring back the last one.
You gotta pay for at least 8 of those 30 that you have.
This is ridiculous. You can't just keep letting you walk out of the store with them.
So, speaking of ridiculous, Conan's family gets killed, and he gets taken as a slave, I guess?
Yeah. He's chained up
to a
bunch
wheel.
Of other little kids. They're in a nice little chain line, little human centipede style thing going on.
And they drag him through the snow to the desert, question mark?
Never quite sure where we are, what land this is. Is this supposed to be a historical thing, or is this like a different world? Is this a full fantasy thing? I don't know.
I think it's supposed to be.
It's impossible to know because nothing gets explained to you, and there's basically no talking in this movie whatsoever.
That's fair.
I think you're a good 18 minutes into the movie before Conan even says one word.
Yeah, even Wally ripped off this intro, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Wally's
everybody knows.
Fucking bullshit. Conan wannabe shit.
Wally, that fucking Conan Pixar. Wannabe.
Sorry, it's all this fucking credit. All they're doing is ripping off Conan movies.
So young Conan's chained to the, what did you say it was called?
The Wheel of Pain?
Why is it? I don't even know what it was for.
Well, see.
Was it drilling?
Arnold and Milius have this conversation when
I'm glad
during the director's
commentary. You watched the director's
commentary. He's like, here is, I am, we are on the Wheel of Pain here. It's the scene right now. You can see
the
I am
wheel
walking.
Of pain.
What is this? Is it, it's grinding something, right?
And he's just like, yes, they're grinding. They're grinding. The wheel grinds their grain into bread. He's just like, where do they get the grain?
Where do they get the grain?
It's an insane question.
John, where did you get the grain?
Probably there's like fields,
this is,
Arnold,
this
or whatever.
A desert. This is a desert.
So yeah,
everywhere.
Theoretically, this
there's
isn't
no
really
grain.
Established, but what they're doing is grinding grain into bread and using slave labor to do it. But I don't know.
That's the only kind of bread I eat.
Yeah.
Slave bread.
Slave bread's just a little bit more delicious. Just that little bit of love that goes into it.
Yep. A little more flavor to that po' boy sandwich that you make yourself.
So I think what the Wheel of Pain is establishing here is...
It's turning Arnold into a man.
It's that which does not kill us makes us stronger, Matt.
It did. Oh, that's right.
Quote from Friedrich Nietzsche.
Yeah. Yeah.
That appears at the beginning of this movie before we see anything else. So you got to remember that very poignant, very important.
It's like, I need to
what
watch.
Kind of a fucking asshole starts their movie by putting that quote up on the screen? That is an insane choice.
That's like the douchebag friend of yours or like guy you kind of know or associate with like in college. And he's like, I'm taking like film classes. I'm going to like write some movies.
Yeah, that's right.
And like he like. finds like the stupidest like quote out of like
John
the
Milius is
most
that guy.
Basic novel, and it's just like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, like, get it, like, because it's like it's gonna be about like these kids growing up, and it's like, boy, save it, pal, I don't want to hear it.
So there's just nobody saying no anywhere on this set throughout this whole fucking process. It's just like whatever coked up fucking insane ideas that pop through Milius's head, everybody's just like, sure, let's shoot it. Let's get it on film.
The only thing that I am thankful for about this opening 30 minutes where they just plow through his origin story was that it prevented the movie from being 3 hours.
That's true. That Mako narration really does the job of moving things along.
They sped it along. They make Arnold a grown, strong Conan. And then they're like, he's strong. So then he starts killing people. Mm-hmm. And then he's really good at killing people. And then they send him to Asia to get, maybe Asia, to get really great at killing people. And then he wasn't a slave anymore.
Maybe Asia? Question mark?
Right.
They were speaking a different language. I think it was Asian.
I'm very sure it was Asian.
So definitely not Austria, even though Conan has an Austrian accent. So yeah, I'm going to say probably Asia's going on here, even though nobody's really Asian other than Mako.
Yeah.
Got James Earl Jones is a black dude. It's very confusing.
There's a lot of beautiful black
ethnicities going on in this movie. Is that like a Mexican dude, the thief that Conan's hanging out with? I don't fucking know.
Jerry something. He was a pro surfer.
Oh, cool.
He was in some other movie.
Oh, yeah. Milius has that fucking
himself.
Surfing fetish.
Yeah.
So he baked all that shit into the Apocalypse Now fucking script and whatever. So, yeah, he's just hiring pro surfers to be in his movies. What a weird dude.
I like all that surf stuff in Apocalypse Now. Don't break bad on that film.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I love that movie.
Safe to surf this beach, Captain! It's safe to surf this beach! I mean, I'm not afraid to surf this place! I'm safe to surf this fucking place!
Boy, so yeah, he's just like a slave, and then he's a gladiator, and then he's a warrior, and then like the...
But
guy
throughout
that
all
enslaved
of this,
him.
All of his transitions, he's always a man with bangs.
Yeah.
Which is what every man in this movie is. Everybody's got beautiful flowing hair. With just some nice sharp bangs up front. Super weird looking.
Side note.
Everybody's hair is super weird in this movie, Matt.
Side note. Uh-huh. Schwarzenegger's real hair in that movie.
Oh, wow. That's a healthy head of hair
he
on that
started
guy.
Growing it
it's
out
quite
in 79.
Because he knew someday he was going to need to have Conan bangs.
Well, they approached him.
Yeah.
He knew he was going
to
play it.
Yeah, this one. I think they were trying to put this together like all the way back.
Since 77,
like,
I think
yeah,
I read.
Yeah, I think earlier than that. Like,
yeah.
Scripts were bouncing around. Took him a long time to get this together, probably because, you know, like
cocaine wasn't popular enough yet.
Such a dumb movie. I like people kept being like, I don't want to give you any money to make this shit.
Yeah, that's fair. But they made it, and Arnold becomes a free man.
Giada De Laurentiis's Aunt Raffi is the main producer on this. She got the money together.
Oh,
she's fun.
It's that De Laurentiis?
Oh yeah, Aunt Raffi produced this fucking movie.
I know she was really
that old wine swilling bitch made Conan. Yeah, huh. Dino is her her dad or whatever.
I didn't know that. I know nothing about her except for
sure.
Her head was too big for her body. I know you guys all liked her, but I never got down.
Like this is no.
Oh, you still like her.
Yeah, this isn't in the past.
She's a weird.
I take that old lady to town as we speak.
I'd take a fat side talking Rachel Ray any day.
Oh, get her out of here.
Oh, yeah. She could
does,
work at the
she does
Dirty
have
Harry
stroke face, though.
Yeah.
That is kind of...
She's a side talker.
Like that.
So they make Conan a free man for whatever reasons.
He's turned into a gladiator, and then he kills all the other gladiators.
Right.
So they're like, bleh, no more gladiating for you to do.
Well, just one guy decides.
Just set you free, I guess.
He's like, get! He white fangs him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, get out of here. Listen to me! Go, go! 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 Go on! Go! Listen to me! Go! Get out of here! Go! Go on! Get out of here!
out of here.
The narrator sure to let us know they teach him how to read and like make him smart.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense. Why the fuck are they teaching a gladiator how to read and teaching him about the world and then setting
him
free?
So that when they throw naked women in front of him,
the worst slave owners ever.
He doesn't ravage them. He makes tender love to them.
I love this fucking scene where the narrator's telling us that they fucking like basically put him out to stud.
Yeah.
Like fucking brought chicks in for him to impregnate.
Yeah.
And we get, he's literally in a cage and they just bring a naked woman and throw her in the cage like they're two fucking animals.
Dude.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. We're going to have to get with Tom Rock. He'll help us write this film, I bet. We do the third sequel, the long-awaited third Conan sequel.
Right.
You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
But it's when we use Arnold still. He's uh-huh. old now. He's broken down.
Yeah.
And he has to fight
super old.
His army of bastard children that have come to claim
that's
his throne.
Idea. Yeah.
What do you think?
Where are we going to find all these genetic specimens to play an army of Schwarzenegger kids?
Vince McMahon.
Oh, that's true. We're going to need a lot of steroids out there. We're going to be passing around a lot of steroids trying to get this cast together.
Budget's going to run high, so double up on needles.
Oh,
share
that's
those.
That's for sure. Yeah, yeah. You got to share. Come on, guys.
Come on. Don't be a prima donna.
But I like how he head fakes. Like, they throw this chick in, and she's just, like, all scared. And he's just like, no, 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 don't worry.
That's
like,
cool, baby,
I'm a cool guy.
Chill,
he, like,
baby, baby.
Drapes
chill,
a blanket
baby,
over
baby,
her shoulders to, you know, save her from the embarrassment of her nudity. And it's just like, I'm not like that. I see what they're trying to have us do right here, but that's not what's going on. Wait, psych! He just like throws her down and just fucking rapes the shit out of her.
Yeah,
just like,
nah.
What was the point of pretending like he was a gentleman and he was like not going to ravage her for like 4 seconds just to throw her down on a fucking bed and then just rape the holy hell out of her in a cage while a bunch of people stand around fucking just
watching,
pie hawking,
yeah, bunch of. Goddamn pie hawkers.
Pie hawking all the way through this fucking movie, quite frankly.
So he gets out of slavery, gets chased by dogs, falls down a well, and finds a sword.
That's right. And this is, we're like an hour into the movie at this point, I think. Like literally nothing has fucking happened other than his family died. He was a slave for a long time. Now he's found a sword.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, he's got a sword. Maybe he's going to start going for like some kind of revenge thing here.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he gets out of the cave, scares the dogs up. No, kills the dogs and uses them for pelts, clearly.
Yeah, this is so funny. You see, here I am. This is the dogs. And then in this next scene, I am wearing the dogs.
I am the dog.
That's so funny.
I am the dog. It's not the dog, it's a fairy.
If I remember correctly, the first thing you hear on the director's commentary is just Schwarzenegger going, "Hello, I am John Milius."
That's
a
good joke.
And John Milius is like, and I am Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then Schwarzenegger's like, ha, 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 ha.
And if you believe this, you also believe that there are Richard Simmons Jr.'s running around.
take a shot at the homosexuals, Arnold.
fucking great jokes all around. These are really cutting it up on this track.
You just want to
recommend it enough.
Just want to hit pause and scrap this, and we'll come back to it next week, and we'll just do the our review of the.
I mean, honestly,
the commentator track.
That's probably a better use of our time.
Much better use. So he kills the dogs. He's free. He's got a sword. It's revenge time.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not. He makes friends with a thief.
So yeah, this is
he becomes a thief.
He just meets a guy who's chained up, and he's just like, "Who are you?" And he's just like, "I'm a thief." And then like next scene, it's just like apparently these guys are just lifelong friends and like thieving together now. Like it's insane. Like. The blonde chick, she shows up in one scene. Like, next scene, she's just Conan's girlfriend. Like, nobody, like, meets or, like, talks to each other. Like, it's insane the way these characters are just thrown together and, like, they never interact.
It's cool, though, when he and his thief buddy are, like, stoned on the Black Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
That guy gives
him.
That's
a great scene.
And then
he punches the fucking camel.
Arnold bumps into a camel and then punches it in the face.
Literally knocks out a camel. And it's just like so casual and such a quick joke that I like looked down and almost missed it. And I was just like, that's an insane thing to just throw in a movie and like just as an aside and then real quick move past. Like
he really punched that camel in the face.
Had to have. There's so many animals had to have died during the making of this movie
or got hurt.
Every fucking 20 seconds there's like a miserable like crash where horses just like fall down and hit the ground really hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, half these horses are just shattering their legs and fucking Milius is putting bullets in them.
That's like, all right. There on the I've got set. It, guys. Look away, girls.
I'd like to see some numbers on how many fucking animals died during the making of Conan the Barbarian.
It seems like the snakes were the only ones that didn't really get manhandled.
Yeah, the big rubber ones, they got manhandled pretty hard.
Yeah, manhandled Arnold snake.
So yeah, at one point I'm just... bullet point I'm writing down here is just that there is like so little dialogue in this movie. It's insane. Like the characters are all essentially strangers. Like they don't even know each other, but mm-hmm. they just act like they're. But then I was like, there's actually not so little dialogue in this movie. There's zero dialogue in this yeah. movie. What there is monologues. It's a series of monologues. Right. Somebody will monologue and then all the other characters just like stand around and listen to them. Just like speak gibberish for 10 minutes. And there's never any back and forth.
No.
Like, I don't think there's a single fucking conversation in this movie. It's insane.
Yeah.
Nobody has any character. It's just like, he is a thief. He is a warrior. Like, yeah. they have no traits or characteristics, anything. Like,
it's like playing
blank. Everybody's
Sega's
a blank.
Golden Axe or whatever that game was.
That's exactly what it is. Like, yeah. you might as well just be watching somebody play video games yeah. for all the fucking storytelling that's going on in this insane fucking movie. Schwarzenegger fucks a demon at some point. I got this on my notes.
Oh, the witch. Yeah, yeah. That was before.
Apropos of nothing. He's just walking down the street.
That's like right after he kills the
dogs. Sexy lady invites him into her house, and he's just like, yeah. hell yeah. And then he's fucking her, and she turns into a crazy demon and flies away.
He throws her naked ass into a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like Which is flies away.
A big dick move right there.
It's pretty cool.
Fuck, you throw the bitch you're fucking into a fire. Yeah.
She flies out of the building, and then he isn't like, this is spooky and weird. He's like, oh, fuck it. She's gone. I'm just going to sleep here for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's right. Then he meets his buddy outside the next morning.
Yeah.
He's like, were you here when I was fucking the demon? No? Okay, we're friends.
Okay, now the movie is going to move on. Yeah. The demon fucking...
We're friends.
It added up to nothing.
This will never come back into the story.
Don't
ever.
Even remember it. There's yeah. no reason no. to.
Well, I remember this. That'd probably be a good spot for him to say that.
Eventually, another big scene we get is where they find they're looking for Tulsa Doom and his snake cult. So they find a big snake tower. So they're like, let's climb up this snake tower and then we're going to steal some jewels from this snake cult. And
oh, that's right, because they get the Black Lotus from the dude before they get high.
There's just a scene where they're fucked up on drugs.
Arnold remembers, like, oh, wait, I do want revenge.
Oh, yes, so I remember like, my lifelong yeah. purpose.
He's like, hey, street guy, you seen, like, guys that have this snakehead logo and they're bad guys?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Kant says I have.
Might have something to do with that big snake tower right over there.
And then Arnold and his... homeless buddy are like, oh, we never looked up.
Mm-hmm. I think this is my favorite scene in the movie when they're stealing the jewels from the snake tower, because they got fucking Tulsa Doom's like right hand man who's just like got like a fucking Fu Manchu mustache
yeah.
and he's kind of just walking around this apartment like fucking the Big Lebowski, like trying not to spill White Russians. Like he's got like the same gait and demeanor as that. I just think he's a really cool just like secondary bad guy, and he's just got naked ladies everywhere.
Yep.
And they're just doing weird cult shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Conan's like trying to steal some shit, but the whole time this is happening, like a gigantic fucking snake is like sneaking up on him, and it's really like suspenseful. I think they do a great job of like milking the tension of like Conan sneaking and the snake slithering up to him, and like
yeah,
he doesn't see
cool
it coming. And then he just fights a gigantic snake with a fucking sword, and
yeah.
it looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
like for a giant like mechanical
for
snake they had to
puppet.
Build or something. Like
right.
yeah, just a big puppet snake. This is a cool fucking scene. And him hacking it up with his fucking sword and blood shooting everywhere and shit.
He sticks the sword through its head from underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, through the mouth all the way up.
Then his thief friends just, like, fucking lighten up his dome with arrows.
Yeah.
This
now,
snake really gets it, man.
I read that scene right there where they shoot all those arrows into the snake's head as it's right above Arnie's head.
Sure, yeah.
Those were just real arrows.
Yeah. Probably the guy shooting them was on a lot of drugs. Probably Arnold was on a lot of drugs.
Do you want to guess who it was that was shooting the arrows?
John Milius.
Because he was the best archer on the set.
What a fucking insane asshole.
Just Arnold.
He's
Arnold,
maybe my favorite
Arnold,
human being.
Arnold, sit still. I got this, man. I got this. Just act like you're wrestling it. I got this, man. Pretty cool.
So if there's one thing I can really just like praise this movie for, it's just this way it sort of paints with tits. Mm. Like just like tits in the foreground, tits in the background. If they can just completely fill a frame with tits, this fucking movie figures out how to do it. Yeah. This is why you get Schwarzenegger talking about how gorgeous all the women are so oh, much sure. in the commentary, which gets you so drunk if you're following those drinking rules, because he is such a fucking pervert.
Yeah, he really is.
Most of the time, he's just talking
hawker.
About how often he gets laid in the movie and how cool it is.
Yeah.
I'm not a pervert. I just was looking for Turbo Man doll.
That's one of my notes in
he's
here.
A tiny
is that,
child.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Right after kills a giant snake,
uh-huh.
you can see I wrote, Arnie pulls tail.
Yeah, that's right. We get some more sensuality coming in here when him and the blonde chick are just like, well, that raid went well, so now we're going to start fucking. We're like a couple. And we get like a really, really long, just montage edited fucking sex scene.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is insane sitting here watching this. There used to be a scene like this, basically this exact scene in like every single movie that was released.
Right.
Like where it's just like montage edited fucking slow motion.
Soft
fucking
core.
Just bodies grinding
straddling.
Together.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, this shit doesn't happen. You just get like people lay down on a bed, cut away. It's clear they had sex. It's established. For some reason, I guess
or,
it's just
Or you get some shock indie director that's like
yeah,
showing
that's
full
right.
on
it's like,
penetration.
Oh, I'm gonna hang some dong here.
Yeah.
Fucking Vincent Gallo. I'm pretty cool.
Yeah, oh, he is pretty cool.
But yeah, like this just doesn't exist anymore in movies. And I gotta wonder, like, is it just because there's porn everywhere now, so just like throwing
yeah,
random skin in movies, like there's no point to it. Like it used to be like
I don't know,
one of the only places you could see naked people was to like fucking throw on a movie. So like it's just like we gotta throw some slow-mo sex in literally every movie that gets fucking like the most insane thing I think is every once in a while I just realize this and I'm like, holy fuck, that's real, is that you see Beverly D'Angelo's tits in the first Vacation movie. Like that's a
great point.
It's a fucking like family comedy.
Yeah.
They show the mom's fucking tits. That's
yeah.
insane. There is no way anything close to that would happen in a fucking movie these days.
Yeah. That's a good point. I was gonna say they
There's
don't show
good tits too, Matt.
Not bad. I feel like they don't show anything anymore because everything's just directed at, you know, making money off of everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
No one wants to
cash is king.
Isolate anybody, and everything's like there's no hard R movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If they are,
which is a shame. Yeah, you had to get like
horror movies.
Yeah, anything
and,
with an R is like an art film of some. There's
yeah.
no like trash R-rated movies
yeah.
anymore, which is just fucking lame.
Like Seagal couldn't.
I
made
wanna
money
watch
this
trash.
Day and age.
I want fucking blood geysers. I want tits flopping everywhere. This is cinema.
Yeah, like when Vince McMahon was trying to make like WWE films, he should have just been making
it's
hard
so
R movies.
He wasn't making hard R movies.
Like, you know,
I think that first like
Out for Justice
horror movie
shit.
With Kane was an R rating,
no evil,
and then like
yeah,
after
yeah.
that, nothing was.
And there was no titties in that
yeah,
one.
No tits whatsoever.
There's a butt.
If there's anybody who's just like a sleazier, more coked up fucking weirdo in the world than Vince McMahon, and he's
yeah.
starts his own idiot film company and he's not throwing tits in all his movies. What sort of world are we living in?
Yeah.
Well, I've got one thing I want you to do for me, okay? And that's going to be right back over here.
Oh, no. I've been waiting for this. Okay. I guess
okay. You want a little coffee or what? Huh?
Oh, God. Huh? I think I'll be good.
Need some more?
Huh? Try not to get it on the rust of my table here.
I won't
huh?
do that.
Can you do that? Huh? You going to get sick?
That's a possibility.
Huh?
Oh.
Huh? Oh my God! He's gonna puke.
That's it.
Sickening. Just sickening. So where was we?
We meet Max von Sydow somewhere around here, and he starts telling them like,
"Oh yeah,
his daughter is in fucking Tulsa Doom's cult, and she's brainwashed.
Oh
and
yeah,
because
they
to go get him out.
They get the big jewel from the Snake Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, let's just get
That's
fucked
where Skeletor
up
lived.
And live as hell damn kings forever. And then the real king's like, get in here, you're in trouble. And he's like, not really.
Mm-hmm.
I just want help.
And I think this is the best performance in the movie, probably, this one scene of Max von Sydow just monologuing about his daughter. Because
yeah.
I think that, like, I think he thinks this is real. I don't know that he's acting. I think he really, like, thought he was a king and his daughter, because he's fucking committed.
Oh, absolutely.
This movie's fucking ridiculous and dumb, and he's taking it so seriously. And, like, I was getting kind of emotional watching him talk about his poor daughter. Yeah. I was like, Conan, you gotta go save this chick.
Conan, please help him.
But, like, Conan's thief buddy and his blonde girlfriend are like, nah, we don't want to. Like, we don't want any part of this. And Conan's like, well, I kind of got this, like, lifelong goal of revenge against Tulsa Doom that I remember every once in a while.
Sure.
Like, every once in a while it occurs to me, like, oh yeah, I'm dedicating my life to getting revenge on this guy who chopped my mom's fucking head off.
So then,
like, the movie goes back towards
you guys,
him doing that again.
I was just trying to figure out how to bring it up.
And then there's another just weird aside where he goes off and, like, does some other weird shit until he remembers that he needs to be getting revenge of Tulsa Doom again.
Yeah.
I like it. So he's trying to, like, get in, and he, like, beats the shit out of this priest and, like, steals his robes, and then, like, he's just, like, hanging out in this cult.
So, yeah, right.
Like,
they're
everybody's
like,
hippies around.
Like, yeah, they're like,
getting,
oh,
like, fucked up on drugs and being religious.
It's
weird shit going on.
He ditches them because he realizes it's his fight, not theirs, and he's not going to make them do it because he knows it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he meets Mako in the desert first.
He's a fun guy.
And he's all like, I'm insane. And Arnold's like,
crazy talking.
Yeah, you are insane. We're friends now. Ha ha ha. And he's like, do they have flowers at this place?
Yeah.
And then Mako gives no definitive answer.
Right.
He's just like, bah! And then Arnold's like, ah!
Now we just have scenes of Schwarzenegger on a horse just
with
holding flowers, looking like a sexual predator.
Yeah.
Just for like 10 minutes. Like him holding flowers, like nothing's happening.
It's like medieval
religious people everywhere, and I'm like, what am I watching?
Him on the horseback with those flowers is like the medieval equivalent to like Arnold driving around in a panel van with no windows, like
absolutely.
Shaking candy out the window.
It feels like just like weirdly, like it struck me for the first time watching it now. It just feels like a 60s movie, like. Feels like this is like about like Jonestown or like fucking, you know, like the Manson family or something. There's so much cult shit, but it's just like everybody's on drugs. Like everybody's like out there trying to find some sort of new weird religion. It's just like Conan the Barbarian's basically in the 60s. Like this could take this to 1960s fucking California. Like the same story being told.
So he tricks a homosexual rapist priest.
Right, yeah, I forgot about the homosexual undertones.
Yeah.
He's talking about his body.
Yeah, he's like where are you going?
You need to love your body.
And Arnold's like, I'm shy, I'm afraid to show my body. And he's like, I'd love to see your body, Arnold. Oh, Jesus, Arnold.
He tells him, how do you expect to reach emptiness without knowing your own body? At this point, I'm just like,
what the fuck does that mean?
What are we talking about? Yeah. What am I watching? And then I'm looking through my notes here, and over again, I just keep writing shit like, what is happening? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
What is this?
My notes read like this. We forgot one of my favorite lines. You're all sluts.
It's true.
When those girls were trying to proposition him and his buddy for sex,
mm-hmm.
and Arnold just yells, you're all sluts. So I wrote that down. I got, what a weird chick. He made a friend. You're all sluts. Kills a giant snake. Arnie pulls tail. They got drunk. He sets out alone. He meets a wizard. Steals a gay priest robe. Gets caught and crucified.
Yeah. So fucking Arnold gets hurt real bad.
They don't really show it.
Fucking, I don't know.
He gets caught as an infidel.
In my notes right here, I have, trying to keep track of this movie is like trying to suss out the timeline of a dream I had. It just doesn't make sense moment to moment. What am I looking at right now? The world is all red and we're fighting animated wind monsters?
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, he tries to get in and he kind of does, but he passing around this medallion that he shouldn't have, and somebody realizes and they're like, you shouldn't have this.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you're a fake, bro. And then they realize who he is and they just
Tulsa Doom fucks him up real bad.
They beat the shit out of him. And then he's like, put him on the tree of woe.
Put him on the tree of woe, which
crucify
him. Just a dead tree out in the middle of nowhere. And like just as soon as I think like this movie's boring as fuck, like I can't get through this, something crazy like this happens, and suddenly just Arnold's fucking delirious on a tree from sun exposure, just making insane Arnold noises, just like blah, blah. This is maybe the best movie for random Arnold noises that there is.
Because like, this is his first attempt at acting.
He's not talking, he's just only fucking like emoting Arnold. Through noises. Yeah. Like, there's a fucking, I'm just like, I was just getting bored and now suddenly he's insane making noises and he's fucking in a bite war with like a bird puppet. Like,
a Muppet.
There's like a fucking Muppet vulture trying to peck at him. So then he just starts biting the fucking vulture's head.
It's,
and they're just biting each other.
It's like this.
It's clearly a puppet. It's fucking crazy.
It's like the scene in Star Wars where R2 and Yoda are fighting over that like biscuit.
I except love all it's, that little like Yoda being nuts
except
shit
it's
going on.
Arnold and a vulture.
Yeah. I was just like, how is this possible that like 5 minutes ago I was thinking about how I'm the most bored I've ever been in my life, and now right now this is the most entertained I've ever been in my
Here's
life.
Here's the thing, that Trio Woe, I do believe, is like actual imagery from original Conan stories.
Yeah, I imagine all this stuff is, but like, it just seems like they're just like,
some of it is, some of it isn't.
Instead of taking one of the Conan stories and making a movie out of it, they were just like, let's take every Conan story that was ever told and cram it all into one insane movie that makes no sense.
And from what I understand, half of the like lore in this movie is Cole the Conqueror lore and not even Conan lore.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's...
It's Kevin
How could
Sorbo.
That be true?
How could they? But if they would have just, I think, yeah, like you said, if they would have just kind of stuck with the actual Conan shit, because anytime like they pull like something where it's like, oh yeah, that's depicted in like Conan shit, like
there's just tons of cool fucking images.
All that.
This.
What's the artist that did all that shit? The Franzetta or whatever. Frank
Franzetta.
Oh
yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that artist.
Anytime like they lean.
A lot of panel van type shit.
Oh, but his shit was amazing. Yeah. Like anytime they like lean in on stuff that like was like inspired by his artwork, it's cool as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else just kind of is.
So then like Tulsa Doom puts him on the fucking Tree of Woe.
Yeah.
And then his friends just come save him. And I was like, weren't his friends captured? I'm just losing track of this
shit. No, they just didn't come along.
It seems like they just keep getting captured and then, like, are arbitrarily free.
Yeah.
Like, they keep on fighting Tulsa Doom, but then, like, not to the death, and then, like, go off and do other things and then fight him a fucking again. So, like, the next time they decide, they get him off the Tree of Woe, fucking Mako the Wizard does a bunch of crazy, like, paintings on his face and shit. We're trying to, like, nurse him back to health, which is when everything gets red and the wind demons come. And I'm just like, somehow that all results in Conan now being healthy again after they fucking fight the...
They fought off the demons.
The
they
wind
stopped
demons
him from dying,
The Red Knight. And then they're like, let's paint ourselves up crazy camo and go crash another Tulsa
which
Doom
looks
party.
Cool.
Fucking again. Like, this shit's got to go down.
Yeah.
Let's just keep on crashing his parties and stealing his shit until finally, like, this movie comes to a head just by pure accident, I feel like.
You get,
we're just going to stumble towards an ending at some point accidentally.
You get some great up-the-loincloth thong shots of the Valkyrie girl as she's climbing up the side of the mountain. And then when they get into the mountain, it's the... Everybody's favorite, the orgy room.
Yeah, I love just the absolute look of glee on Schwarzenegger's face as he's
I was just
going to
bring
orgy.
That up to you. Like,
I have no idea if he knew they were filming during the shit or whatever, or if that was just literally him like being so excited
that
to
was
be on this
be my
movie set with
you.
Fucking titties everywhere.
Like, yeah, were they like, Arnold, just kind of like, everybody else is like serious / disgusted, and then you just kind of get like a wry smile about you, like, oh.
So there's just an orgy going on. There's a bunch of like fucking thugs carrying around a gigantic fucking pot of stew for no reason.
Body parts.
It's got like rubber hands floating around in it, and it's all green, and like we just keep seeing the stew over and over again. I'm just like, what is this stew? Like, why are we focused on it so much? What are they? Why are they carrying this giant thing of stew around everywhere? What? Why is this stew so important? You'd think this was like the crux of the film for all the fucking screen time this stew gets.
It's never explained.
Fucking Tulsa Doom's hanging out, and then he just turns into a giant snake.
Right.
yeah. for no reason, and it's never mentioned again, and it never leads to anything. It's just like, also, he yeah. can turn into a snake.
Yeah. They kind of talked about it earlier, where they're like, there's legend that he's a snake and 1,000 years old.
I think it took 40 minutes for him to transform into a snake. The scene goes on fucking forever.
And his face keeps stretching out.
He doesn't do it for any reason. He doesn't do anything as the snake. We never see him as a snake again. Like, it's fucking insane. This movie is insane.
But he's got the king's daughter with him.
That's, yeah, we do establish that.
That's important.
And she's fucking brainwashed. She does not want to leave. They're trying to, like, get her out of there. And she's like, no, I fucking love being fucking in this witchy snake cult. It's cool as shit. We get fucking hands, stew. There's orgies everywhere. Like, my life is great. Why would I want to go back to my dumb king dad? Like, this is perfect.
I like how Arnold and his little buddy with Sebado or whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah.
They're like
Sebado.
They're trying to like creep around legitimately. And then that huge white bitch that Arnold's banging.
Sure.
She tries to sneak around, but she's like in plain sight. And then there's another scene where she's like climbing something and like kicking dangling chains. And it's like, bitch, how does nobody hear you? Like,
she's camoed up, but she's just like bowling a china shop. And this whole fucking like cave hangout at Tulsa.
And she in real life is like a professional dancer. There's nothing graceful about her.
That's interesting. She's got the thighs for it.
They found her. See that. She was recommended for the film after her performance in All That Jazz.
Oh, wow. So we're going to get a dancer here. We're going to get a fucking
Mr. Olympia.
Bavarian fucking bodybuilder. We're going to get a professional surfer. Like, was there any point during like the process of putting this movie together where somebody was like, what if we hired actors?
That's why they got...
What if we got some actors to act in this movie?
Max von... whatever.
Seidel, yeah. Seidel. He fucking...
That's why you got...
Kills it in that one scene. James Earl Jones nominated Mako in this fucking movie, too. Like, this is another guy where, like, when he's monologuing, like, I'm just like, does James Earl Jones know this is a movie? Because I think he's just living as some sort of crazy fucking god king. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think he's... They fucking, like, Heart of Darkness to this shit, I think, where they were probably just out in the wilderness legit just having drug-fueled orgies.
Right.
Like, every once in a while, they happen to film some of it and, like, make it into a movie.
They're like, you know what? I think we can make a story out of that.
Everybody's got blue eyes, even James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's never mentioned.
Milius' like, weird Hitler complex.
It's never a thing that anybody talks about.
I don't know.
Fucking weird.
So they disturb the Black Panther party.
Mm-hmm.
They start fighting everybody.
Is this where Schwarzenegger gets in a fight with like that fucking beefy Warhammer guy?
Yeah.
That guy is like, I think like my fitness goals right there. Like,
oh, LaFleur's?
If I could be anybody, I'd be
security guard from Mallrats.
That fucking beefed up this era with his fucking bangs and his flowing hair, just carrying around a gigantic Warhammer. Fucking veins trying to rip through his fucking skin because he's got so many steroids just coursing through his whole body. He looks
Sven
great.
Whatever his name is.
Sure, yeah.
He was just in Hard Target a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's in a lot of Arnold movies.
Popping. I think he's in like every Arnold movie this year. Yeah. Like, he just like.
He's either a bad guy or a stunt man.
Constantly. Yeah.
And Arnold got him the job in this one, too.
He looks so good.
He's great,
in this fucking movie, though. This is, like, peak him. He's just, like, on
oh,
top
yeah,
of
he's
his fucking form.
He's, like, Jesse Ventura every bit as jacked as Schwarzenegger.
Oh, hell yeah. And
this.
Just their big, beefy bodies just slapping together over and over again. I'm watching this, and I'm like, well, this is filmmaking. This is why you go out to Hollywood. You want to fucking put shit like this up on the screen.
Him and the Big Lebowski dude, he is also taller than Schwarzenegger.
Right, yeah, that guy's, like, sneakily fucking huge.
Yeah.
He's just got, like, bad posture and, like, no
he's
real
got that,
physique.
He's so, Joey Ramone tall.
Yeah, you don't really realize what a fucking monster he is.
Yeah. He was a pro football player, I want to say that dude.
That
was.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but they
you could tell that guy's just like legitimately sleazy. Like, that guy's just drug vibes are just insane. Yeah. I love just like the presence he just brings to fucking his screen presence. There's just a lot
you
of
could,
stories up
you
in his
could
hair.
You see him fingering a young lady's butthole at the registry on a Tuesday night.
Absolutely.
You know?
That would happen.
That would happen. So they destroy the little place they're at, trying to beat each other up.
Right.
And then they're like, we got the princess. Let's get out of here. We all made it out of here. And then James Earl Jones is like, I turned back into a human being.
Yep.
And now I'm going to turn a snake into an arrow, and I'm going to kill your bitch.
So this is the first time Conan and his girlfriend ever have a conversation is when she's dying. This is the only dialogue they share where, like, somebody... one of them speaks and then the other one responds to what the other one's saying.
I don't even remember him responding.
In the entire fucking film. They actually have a back and forth.
I want to breathe my last breath into your mouth.
Fucking James Earl Jones taking a snake and randomly getting stiff and then him shooting it like an arrow.
Yeah.
Is one of the coolest fucking things I've ever
really
seen.
It really is cool.
That's a great way to kill somebody. Ripped off by the G.I. Joe movie when they had fucking Serpentor. Yeah. Which is very unwelcome change to that cartoon. I was a Cobra Commander kid myself. There's never into Serpentor.
You weren't a fan of the Cobra Law
shit, but it was pretty cool how Serpentor could take snakes and make them stiff and then use them as knives and stabbing weapons.
Yeah. Serpentor was supposed to kill Duke, but after the Transformers movie came out and all those kids lost their shit over Optimus Prime dying.
Oh yeah, that's right. They
had to change it.
Like 80-yard the whole movie to be like, Duke's still alive.
Duke's not dead.
Dumb.
We didn't need Duke anymore. We already established his younger half-brother, played by Don Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Falcon.
This is a cool fucking character there. Grizzly-voiced Don Johnson should have done a lot more cartoon work.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Opportunity missed.
So basically, the way this ends, which I noticed kind of for the first time watching it this time, is just the exact same ending that Milius used for Apocalypse Now. Like, he's just like, how are we going to wrap this up? Conan's fought Tulsa Doom like a million times, but like it's not come to anything. Let's just do the Apocalypse Now ending where there's just a big fucking crazy religious ceremony and Conan just walks up and chops his fucking head off and then we can roll credits because the movie's over.
But he throws the head down the stairs.
Uh-huh.
That's some great sound effects. Oh. It's just like, flap.
This whole fucking scene just like looks cool. Visuals is great. But I'm just like, moment to moment, just none of it makes any sense. What's happening here? What are we doing?
He killed
him. Why is Conan able just to walk up to him and kill him without any sort of fight? What is this
movie?
He
killed a guard.
I guess that's true.
He killed a guard, okay.
But you get the nice, like, bookended symmetry of Conan's mom's head getting chopped off and then Tulsa Doom's head getting chopped off. Yeah. It's just like, we're going to open and close the film with some beheadings, which is a smart move. I think more movies should do that.
And then he sets the castle on fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to throw the thing into, like, the balcony window.
Yeah.
But he missed.
Right.
And then the thing just caught on fire and they couldn't shoot it again.
It never made any sense to me how he just like swings around a metal ball that's got fire in it and then throws it at like stone steps.
Right.
And it's somehow like all of this stone is on fire. I'm just like, what's burning?
Yeah, he was supposed...
Why is there so much fire?
He was supposed to throw it into the balcony window, but he missed. And
they were just like, fuck it.
That set's already on fire.
Whatever. Like,
oh, well.
We're not going to go back and like shoot it again.
No.
Like, that's not going to happen.
So
we got too much partying to do. Like, fucking, let's wrap it. Whatever. It doesn't make any sense visually. Who cares? It's Conan the Barbarian.
I just scored another bag of blow from these Spaniards. They're in Spain.
Yeah, that's a Spanish blow in the 80s. It's legendary. It's stuff of legend.
Some of the best. So that's it.
Yeah, and we move on to Conan the Destroyer, which I've never seen,
I
hear it's fucking awful.
That's
like
my understanding.
So fucking bad, which makes me like wonder, like, why haven't I never watched that? A really, really super terrible Conan. Like, if it's way worse than this movie, like, that sounds great. Yeah. It might be better than this movie might just for being really bad.
Dig into it.
I think I'm going to dig into that.
Maybe
we'll
make a theme month of awful sequels.
Yeah. I've got a note here before the ending. I wrote, just paused it to see how much is left, and there's a half an hour left. How can there be a half hour left? Nothing is happening.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I stopped the movie
like
with a half hour left.
I was watching this movie.
Because I was like, I gotta eat dinner. I can't.
This is the first time I've ever like paid attention to Conan. Like, yeah. This is a movie where you throw it on in the background.
Right.
You have to pay attention to it. Like, whenever something fun happens, you like perk up and like check it out. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is cool. To just like sit and watch this and have it be the only thing you're looking at and like try and actually just like absorb it. It's an undertaking, man.
Yeah, they
I'm exhausted.
I'll save my thoughts, but yes, we're finished with it. We told you what it was. We're gonna talk about some things that are coming up,
coming attractions coming
and
your way,
and we're gonna talk about how we really feel.
Yeah,
our feelings on Judgment Days.
Absolutely imperative that this job look like a civilian operation.
Get down!
Kiss the floor.
I expect a little cooperation.
Ralston, I expect you to stay out of my way.
Put the damn gun down, soldier!
Somewhere in America, a secret war is being waged.
This is a case of national security.
Go. A war of deception.
It's a daylight hit.
I come over to talk about the bomb that went off yesterday. I got two people dead.
Fought by a phantom army.
Sergeant Buck Atwater killed Laos in 74. How can they be officially dead and two of them locked up in there?
It's classified.
Now, he's the only one that stands in their way.
I got a feeling the next time we run into each other, we're going to have a killing.
Termination with extreme prejudice. Anyone could be the enemy.
Tell the FBI to kiss my...
Want to tell me about it?
I can't talk about it. I got to do something about it.
Nothing is what it seems.
What the hell's the military robbing banks in Texas for?
And unless he can stop them...
It's poison.
Everything he stands for is at stake.
Very unusual.
What is?
Ordering the termination of an American civilian peace officer, clearly loyal to the country and in the process of bringing a known criminal to justice.
But we're going to do as we're told. Right, Sergeant?
Kill him. Kill him like an animal.
The only thing that ever scared the hell out of me, Cash, was myself.
We are space age high tech, and we get caught by some stone age cowboy.
Nick Nolte. Extreme Prejudice.
Adios, amigo!
Only one man is crazy enough to pull a stunt like this. Only one man is crazy enough to go after it.
You pull the cord!
Patrick Swayze.
Now you pull it! 6 seconds!
Keanu Reeves.
Pull it!
Point Break. Rated R. Starts Friday at theaters everywhere.
I pushed that burp out right before you hit record.
Yeah.
I edited it out. Edited it out for you.
It's going to be a little bit less work I have to do when we're putting this together.
Every
little burp that I don't have to deal with is just like a tiny little gift to me. Just a tiny little gift.
I like to pair them up with my talking so they're on top of each other, and then you have no choice but to leave them in.
Sometimes it gets a little rough in there.
You're like, oh, he incorporated it into his
digging down
English.
His audio files trying to do delicate surgery. As much of the burp out as I can with it still making sense.
Yep.
It's an art form, really.
I'm one of the best. You're right.
Is that what I was saying?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the best people I know. That's me. What do the best people of the internet think about Conan the Barbarian Adventurer?
Let's get into it because there's a lot of crazy shit going on in this movie.
They got to be
and
long.
It attracts a lot of crazy people to it, is what I've seen. And
it's going
to
be long, just
there's
like
some crazy
the movie.
Shit here. Not necessarily. I've got a one that's decently long, and then
water.
I paired it up with one that's really short, you know. But
All right, I'm leaning back. Blow
Let's
my mind.
Let's jump into it. We're Judgment Day. We're getting into the reviews. One bullets and five bullets. This first one bullet review is from Amazon user Sid the Elf. And he's going to take us on a little journey here. Sid does not like Conan the Barbarian. He says, "It's too bad they didn't go with the original idea. Tom Hanks and Conan sleepless in Mongolia." That's how he starts it off. That's the icebreaker.
Ugh.
He goes on.
Leave the commie for the pros.
Well, now, let's just say that we, Sid the Elf, he's apparently a we, were not impressed by Conan the Barbarian. This movie was a chick flick in a thin disguise. There was even the cheesiest death scene in movie history when Arnold's butterface got iced. We gathered from reading some of the reviews by the Dungeons & Dragons losers that love this movie that Conan was a book once upon a time. It could have only been one of those cheap novels they have at the checkout lines in supermarkets, because this crap was a bad romance novel. In fact, the only people Sid can imagine liking this movie are girls. Or maybe men seeking men in your beloved chat rooms, dorks. Arnold's in the middle of his three injections a day and dips on props in between... Wait. And dips on props in between takes stage of his career? That's not a sentence. And he runs around all movie without a shirt. Perfect for sweetie pies. There is a complete lack of anything cool in this movie with the exception of a few beheadings and the fact that the dude from Spinal Tap made a cameo. This was certainly not the Arnold we've come to know and love. Another reason these nerds love this movie so much is because it reminded them of Star Wars because Darth Vader played the villain again. Oh boy. So if you're an Arnold fan and want to see how he started his career, just be glad it got off the ground to give you Predator, Total Recall, and Commando, and ask no further questions. We are just glad we didn't start off our Arnold viewings with this one, or we would have never been lucky enough to decide on his classics. Stay far away. And if you do rent this one, when you return it to your local video store, scream, "He's gone! The evil's gone from here!" One bullet review from Amazon user Sid the Elf, who I think is legitimately out of his mind.
Yeah, he does like a lot of internet bullying in that review.
Yeah.
But like also shows his cards enough to let us know that he too is an internet dork.
Without question.
And it's like,
feels legit unhinged to me. I don't know. I don't think this is a gimmick. This next one.
I could see him shotgunning a White Claw.
It's much
me
more
having to call him out.
Much more to the point. We got some brevity going on here from Letterboxd user Derek Armijo. He says, "Conan, what is boringest in life?" One bullet review from Letterboxd user Derek Armijo.
Derek. He's all right.
He gets it.
He gets it.
Okay, there's some decent criticisms about this movie, rightly so, but also there's some people who fucking love this movie, despite all its weirdness. We got a couple five-bullet reviews. Our first is from Amazon user Omsgangwillaw. I don't know how to say that. Whatever. Okay. It doesn't matter. He says, "Conan the Barbarian is one of my favorite movies. Conan the Destroyer is one of the worst movies ever made.
Ooh.
I recommend this collection because I think it has good cover art, even though Destroyer is terrible. Just letting you know, this set contains the extended version of Conan the Barbarian with 129-minute runtime, unlike the theatrical 127-minute runtime.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that every Blu-ray or DVD you get of Conan is the extended version, but on the digital format, I can only seem to find the theatrical version. I checked iTunes, trademark, Movies Anywhere, trademark, Vudu, trademark, and Amazon Prime Video, trademark." He wrote in all the trademarks. "They all seem to have the theatrical version. The extended version only changes one thing, the ending, but I think it improves it a bit because it adds the princess in it. I recommend watching it on Blu-ray, not digital. I also recommend skipping Conan the Destroyer. Trust me, it's really bad. You'd have to see it to believe it, but just don't see it. Also, if your child wants to see this movie and you don't want them to see it, just let them. They'll be fine. Remember that they are growing faster than you can see, and if they're over 10 or 11, they should see this movie. It has a good message and is very inspirational."
Okay.
Five bullet review from Amazon user Omsgangwillaw.
It's weird, the parenting advice at the end.
They're growing faster than you can see, Matt.
Yep.
Trust me, this guy on the internet knows your kid better than you know
your
kid.
He's been watching him closely.
Five bullet review from Amazon user Vito is how we're going to wrap things up here. Vito, maybe Vito, Vito, but he put two T's in it, so I'm pronouncing Vito. He says, saw the movie in the theater as a kid. I won a bodybuilding competition, served multiple army tours as a ranger, retired as a history professor, and Conan was an inspiration beyond words. When art touches the soul, futile words are much too primitive to grasp it. I assigned students to write essays on this movie, and I am convinced that no other historical fiction comes close. Milius was blacklisted by Hollywood perverts. But John, this big thank you is for the tens of millions of warriors that you inspired. Oh. Crom.
Oh.
Five bullet review from Amazon user Vito. I thought that was a nice way to end it because he's clearly some sort of Milius zealot.
That's a nice way to end it.
Nice
our
little
lives.
Peek into what sort of weird fans Milius has acquired over there. There's a lot of like fucking clearly insanely insecure dudes who like seem to love John Milius and all these internet fucking reviews.
Oh boy.
I'm man's man, I assure you.
I assure you. I've never touched peen to another man's peen.
Matt, let's get into your final thoughts and your rating of Conan the Barbarian.
Oh boy. First of all, it's just, oh man, I don't know where to start.
Mm.
Just like that movie, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know where to start.
Right. Start with a Nietzsche quote, I think. Are there any other ones?
Like Nietzsche said,
What are his B-sides?
He who smelt it did in fact dealt it.
Yeah.
And
very wise.
What we're dealt here is 2 hours and 9 minutes of what should have been an hour and a half, 45-minute movie.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is a full hour too long.
Yeah.
I think an hour and 10-minute movie would
I'm
be
thinking
fine.
It's, you make a movie about an orphaned slave whose family and people are murdered.
That's
and
right.
He wants revenge. And if you want to give him a sidekick, that's cool.
Should be so much more simple than what we got.
He definitely doesn't need that whole love interest thing. You can introduce that later.
I mean, yeah, we'd already thrown plenty of titties in the movie. So
like, we know he smashes Poon. Like, we get it.
Yeah, that's been established.
You can try to do the whole love interest thing in a second one as a cheap ploy to make a sequel, you know? Just too much going on here. Just way too much. Some of it looks really fucking cool. Some of it looks really bad. There's a scene in particular in the orgy scene where a guard gets his stomach cut open and you see him rip open his blood pack.
Yeah. I noticed that too. I mean, that's the same scene where there's literally rubber hands in a stew.
Yeah, there's that too. It's a Spencer.
Clearly
or not Spencer,
rubber
it's
hands.
Yeah, Spirit Halloween outlet store.
For sure.
Speaking of which, it's Halloween season. Get your ass at your local Spirit and look at all the cool, creepy shit they
get
got.
Out there.
It's Halloween, damn it. Again, just so much going on. The soundtrack is just badass. Like, the score is just unbelievable. Other than that, there's just stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what this movie is. It's not really good, and it's not really bad. It's
both those things.
I just got to say that we score movies from nothing to five.
That's
and
right.
So I'm going to find the exact middle and say 2.5.
2.5 bullets for Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because it's, man, it just, it is.
This isn't a movie. It's a screensaver. It's like a blacklight poster. There's just, like I said, you could shuffle up all the scenes and play them in completely different orders and you wouldn't fucking notice. Which doesn't make for a good movie, but I kind of enjoy it on the level of just, like, it's something you can throw on in the background and, like, fucking pay attention to it, and every once in a while you're going to see something real fucking cool. You can stop paying attention to it for, like, 15 minutes at a time and then, like, come back to it, and you didn't miss anything. It doesn't matter.
Man.
So, like, it's easy to take down. It's an enjoyable watch on that level. But it's just absolutely not a movie, so I can't rate it as a fucking solid, fully functioning film, because it doesn't function as one. I also gave it 2.5 bullets, Matt. I feel like we're right on the same page here.
Yeah. Again, 2.5.
Took a lot out of me.
Yeah.
Watching this from start to finish and actually paying attention to it. That's not how you should watch this movie.
If somebody...
Put it on at a party. That's how you watch Conan the Barbarian.
If somebody asked me, like, what I meant by 2.5...
Mm-hmm.
Like, for any movie, I'd be like, watchable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that movie is.
There are five bullet scenes, and there are one bullet scenes. And they just, like, go back and forth.
Right.
Willy-nilly.
And so there you have it. Yeah.
There you have it. Conan the Barbarian. I'm probably never going to watch this again without the commentary.
Here's your headline.
The commentary makes it.
Here's your headline. Conan the Barbarian. Mm-hmm. It's no Red Sonja.
I've definitely never seen Red Sonja all the way through. That's another one of these.
I think it's even more
bits
offensive.
And pieces on cable fucking movies. There's no. I think that's the only way anyone's ever seen it,
except for the three people opening weekend.
We got one more week in this John Milius month here. What is best in life? The masculine philosophies of John Milius, and I think this next one's really going to be a treat for us, Matt.
Yeah.
This next one, I think, is probably one of the most overlooked, underrated films of the 1980s. Mm. We're dipping back into the filmography of Walter Hill.
Oh, he's a good guy.
Old Baby O'Blow favorite, written by John Milius, starring Nick Nolte. We're going to be watching Extreme Prejudice to cap off this whole John Milius month.
Oh.
And we move on into the fall. It's going to be Labor Day. We're going to say bye-bye to summertime with the best saying bye-bye to summertime movie ever made. Fucking 2 weeks is Point Break, Matt. So I just want you to get ready. Get ready for Point Break. This is going to be one of the hallmark episodes of Baby Oil and Blow. I'll tell you that right
also,
now.
Also, kids, if you're keeping track when you pull up the podcast on your iTunes or whatever you're on, we're coming down to episode 100.
Oh, fuck. That's going to be a milestone right there. It's going to be a big fucking big dick show, I'm sure.
We're going to get some guests, some special guests.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
That's very exciting. We're going to go down to his fucking tiki bar, drink some cans of beer.
We're going
to
get him. We're also going to get Steven Seagal's stuntman.
Ooh.
Yep.
That's a get right there.
These are some real names we're getting here. Mm-hmm, so
I look forward to it.
You know, pay attention. It's coming your way. Baby Oil and Blow. Stay soon.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. And every new town just seems to bring you down, trying to find peace of mind can break your heart. Could use a friend. Where